Let's welcome on and say good morning to the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Quentin Lucas, is joining us on KCMO Talk Radio. Mr. Mayor, thank you for being here. Good morning.
Good morning. It's always great to talk to you.
Likewise. Mr. Mayor, I want to start off, you know, infrastructure bill gets done. I know you were in D.C. For the signing of it here in the last few days. What do you specifically see that bill, especially with a price tag that big? What do you see the benefits being to Kansas City, Missouri, and the region for that matter?
Well, first of all, there are numbers out of how much money comes back to Missouri and Kansas. I know for Missouri, it's in the universe of $5 billion to fix its crumbling bridge infrastructure, which is a significant challenge. Going outside of Kansas City, there are a number of communities that can't, like we did, put $75 million, or almost half the price, into fixing the Buck O'Neill Bridge. That's all around Missouri, largely more conservative areas than this one. And so this is going to allow us to address that. This is going to allow us to adopt better installation of rural and urban broadband to make sure that our school children, no matter where they are in Missouri or Kansas, have access to the internet, as we saw became more important over the last year. So, you know, I do think that this is something that's important. One other point. Yesterday, I was in the Northland working with folks who were going through kind of jobs training, and we're talking about the number of jobs that we're generating off of this. Working class jobs for a lot of people that continues to be a need in our community, our states, and our region. So I think that this is something that's going to be helpful and important, puts people to work, fixes up so much of the infrastructure that we have underinvested in for decades. And that's why I think it was a good decision, supported, by the way, I'll note, by Senator Blunt, by a number of other Republicans, some of whom were present the other day, Senator Romney, Senator Rob Portman, others. And I think it'll make a bold difference for America.
You know, Mr. Mayor, obviously the last 18 months, or almost 2 years now at this point, you know, no one anticipated this. But one of the things that you ran on and campaigned on was the issue of affordable housing, which has kind of taken on a life of its own. I don't know how the infrastructure deal works into this, but, you know, yesterday I was down there, I'm trying to think where we were, like 26th and Brooklyn area. They had four Habitat for Humanity homes that were recently built, gifted the families. The lots came from the Urban Neighborhood Initiative. Diane Cleaver was there. I know you know all these people. What is the formula here? It seems to me that Habitat formula is one that works very well, arguably better than maybe some of the top-down government style multifamily things that they want to do around the country and Kansas City as well. What is your vision of how this works as hopefully we get back to normal and you can focus on things that, you know, you wanted to focus on when you ran for mayor?
Yeah. And thank God we're getting to that point, you know. Fundamentally, and this is something that Senator Hawley and I have actually talked about a lot in most of our interactions, we probably visit maybe 3 to 4 times a year, is the development of single-family housing in Kansas City, affordable single-family housing. That's exactly the Habitat for Humanity model that you're describing. I once talked to somebody in our housing department who said Kansas City really is kind of a single-family housing town. Mm-hmm. And for so many of our opportunities, I read a piece in the Kansas City Star yesterday about Afghan refugees who are living in these crowded apartments. Much of what we can do is use lots of our single-family housing stock, which exists in every part of our city, in aging parts of Johnson County, Wyandotte, all around the region, to make sure that we are not just doing these big government programs that build 21st century projects, which I think is what's desired by some. And I think all of us who remember at least some of the 80s and 90s know that, you know, we had many failures with building that type of government housing in the 60s, 70s, et cetera. That I think we need to really make sure that we're allowing opportunities, creating opportunities for families to be able to become homeowners, for family units to continue to be together. And importantly, to the extent that we're financing any sort of thing, how about we finance, you know, a step up for people so that they can build equity, so that they can build neighborhood stability, which makes our community safer, makes our schools better, has students not moving between schools. I mean, it's really the core of everything. Mm-hmm. And I do hope, and I've appreciated the senator's effort, Senator Hawley I'm talking about now, in making sure we keep those conversations going forward, because HUD is missing something. That's our federal housing department, is missing something. If we are not investing more and that sort of single family housing that stabilizes and builds neighborhoods in the same way that we saw post-World War II, and in a way that whether you're black, white, whatever in America, where we have the chance to really, I think, build strong communities, equity, that help build Kansas City to what it is today.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Lucas is joining us here on KCMO Talk Radio. I want to turn course here, Mr. Mayor, to some other issues that have been popping up over the last week. This trial that is taking place with the cop who shot Cameron Lamb, that is, we're still kind of awaiting what's going to come out of that. What is your message to people as they kind of wait to see what happens in that case? You know, there are some people who are saying no matter where, you know, if the thing doesn't go the way they want it to go, there could be protests or God forbid more. What is your message to Kansas City as people await the news on this verdict?
I believe in justice, and I believe in our justice system. I sworn an oath, not just as part of being a mayor, but since I was a 25-year-old man as a lawyer. And the prosecutor presented her case. The detective had a defense. And we have a judge who was appointed actually through a great process in Missouri who will decide. And I stand by whatever that verdict will be. I think in terms of those who will want to use this verdict any direction to cause further dissent in our community, I think that's wholly unnecessary. They asked for a prosecutor to look into this case. She did. She brought charges. And if the officer is acquitted, then I think that is the end of the situation. If he's convicted, I think that also is an end of the situation. But that's what the justice system is about. And so that's where I will be. I don't support any type of either violent activity. I understand everybody has a right to protest, so I understand there may be some who do that, but I don't think that there is in any way that they can indict this city, this department, this region, this prosecutor, any set of folks as not having listened to the people. All of us followed the roles that we're supposed to within this system, and I just hope that we have calm heads who recognize that justice is actually having a trial, a fair trial, and getting a fair result.
On a similar note, Mr. Mayor, you guys are now negotiating, of course, next year's police budget. The Star wrote kind of scathing piece saying that you and maybe some of your colleagues are backing down on the local control fight, and this is not the time to back down. Do you view yourself as backing down from this fight, or are you looking at it as, you know, we gave this thing a shot, it didn't fall our way, and now we got to work within the system that we have?
I visit a lot of mayors from a lot of other cities. I had a chance to talk to a lot of them the other day. One of the most amazing things about our system, and I said this to the police chief the other day and to the board, even on our worst days with incredible disagreement, we still work together better than a lot of places where the mayor appoints the police chief, him or herself. This isn't me backing down from saying I think it'd be a wiser system if Kansas City was like Gladstone, Grandview, Overland Park, KCK, and others, and was able to actually have local control. I think that's an important change. I think you will see significant discussion throughout the budget process and what the city council wants to have happen, and myself, want to have happen with the police budget. I attended a meeting earlier this week where they spent about an hour and a half to 2 hours talking about the very community engagement and prevention types of things that I am very interested in and been interested in some time. And I continue to kind of push back at the court didn't smack us down or reject anything or all of that. I know everybody sees it out there. They just said do it during the budget cycle. And that's what we're doing. But part of making sure that we have the accountability we want to see, the community investment, all of the type of crisis intervention team stuff that the police department does very well already, we want to make sure that that's adequately funded, as with the police athletic league officers, as with DARE, as with student resource officers, is that we got to talk to each other. And I think it's absolutely right that, you know, look, people want police officers. I want police officers. I want patrol officers. I don't want more command staff. I want officers rather than, you know, more bureaucracy. I want to pay for people who are patrolling the streets, not a bunch of professional services. And that's where this fight in many ways has always been. Look, you know, maybe we didn't win the political fight in terms of a bunch of people meeting and said, oh, my God, this is defund the police. And you're like the Portland City Council, which we are not. And this mayor is not. But, you know, people are going to say what they want to because there's a reason they want to push slogans. I'm going to work with the Kansas City Police Department because, first of all, the city needs to be safer. Second of all, because there are a lot of people who care about the city each and every day. And importantly, work means a two-way street. It doesn't just mean here's a blank $260 million check, you go do what the hell you're going to do, and I have no role in saying anything. I think that's been too much of our model for years. But a collaborative, strong relationship where we recognize the importance of policing, we recognize the need for reforms in a number of different ways, reforms in many ways that officers in this department each and every day are already doing, I'm 100% on board with that. And I think Kansas City, Pete, you may not believe it. Others may not. Somebody calling me may not. We'll end up being the model, I think, for police-community relations. And I hope, because it is vital for us, hope that 10 to 20 years we're going to be the model for how you build a safer city, just like they did in New York City in the early 1990s when they had 2,000 people get murdered every year. Now they have about 350. These things can be done, and I'm committed to it.
And if that happens, I mean, you'll get a statue. I promise you that. I mean, and it would be well deserved. No, seriously. I mean, I agree. Even you know, people that may disagree with how you've done things politically, if that happens, that'd be a great thing. Now, on that issue, though, one thing that's come up that everyone seems to be on board with, needing to hire back more officers with the losses that have come, whether it's you, Councilman Melissa Robinson. I mean, it seems like everybody's on board. Most people are on board with this. But would you admit that right now recruiting is in a very difficult space for these police departments, whether it's Kansas City or anywhere else, because of, let's be honest, Mr. Mayor, some of the rhetoric over the past 18 months that has come from the top down from your party? Is that a fair assessment? And if so, how does that change?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I won't BS you this early in the morning. I mean, I think that there have been voices. They're not necessarily voices that I've ever voted for, but they are voices that have a loud megaphone in the Democratic Party. I think that's why some of us who have not had as loud of a voice have often had to say, look, we get it. We need to make sure we do better and everything else. We try to improve every day, but our police are still a vital part of things. I mean, I'll tell you a little story. When we were in the height of the protests, I was saying, you know, maybe I'll just put on Twitter that I don't believe in defunding the police. My staff kind of at the time, and this is with respect to them, but shut it. No, don't do that. It means more than you would think. It means all these other things. And I did not. And in some ways I regret that, because I think, you know, a lot of us could have more clearly from the beginning just said, yeah, this isn't what we believe in. What we believe in is, yes, we've got to do better. We've got to reform. We've got to believe in accountability. All those things that I think most officers, if you talk to them honestly, are like, yeah, I want to be able to answer questions. I want you to know what I'm doing. And I think that the message got taken by those who have views that are more transformative, certainly, than what I hear in Kansas City. Importantly, more transformative than what I've heard in Baltimore and New York City and Washington and Los Angeles. And so it's going to take some work for us to get back to that point of depoliticizing policing. I say this whether I'm talking to the police union, police spouses, or activists. You know, I think policing is more like a core utility. You know, we don't actually say abolish energy, even though maybe sometimes people do, or abolish, you know, the gas company wherever you live. Instead, what we say is, hey, guys, we had outages this week. How can we avoid that in the future? That's what we need to see with police. And I think it is a core utility function. It's part of why we ever organized governments to be safe. And I think it's an important part of the community that you'll see Kansas City continue to, I think, have a more responsible conversation around. And, you know, they put me on national news sometimes. They don't put me on as much as, you know, maybe some Congress people who have very powerful Twitter platforms. But if they did, then I'd probably push back that message and say that that's what really Democrats believe in.
Mr. Mayor, thank you as always. He's Mayor Quint Lucas on KCMO. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us on KCMO.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. That's Quint Lucas on 710 AM and 103.7 FM.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.